live and local, here for you. Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. State football finals continued yesterday with three champions crowned at the Dakota Dome in Vermilion. The final nine-man game of the season in South Dakota was the 9A championship yesterday. It was all Wall. Wall defeated Howard, the defending champion, 60-6 to roll to the championship. None of the nine-man games were really all that close. Outstanding back and Joe Robbie MVP, Jace Moore. Outstanding lineman, Brand Hilgenkamp, both from Wall. The 11B championship yesterday afternoon, St. Thomas More won their first ever state football title. I believe it was their seventh try at a championship. St. Thomas More won a high-scoring affair over Elk Point Jefferson, 48-38. Outstanding back, Broden Sales. Outstanding lineman, Brody Lee. And Joe Robbie MVP, Noah Wald, all from St. Thomas More. The 11AA championship, Pier back at the top of the heap again as they outscored Yankton 56-35, highest scoring championship game in 11AA history. Outstanding back and Joe Robbie MVP, Porter Hunsley. Outstanding lineman, Max Bogenhagen, both from Pier. So now just two games left in the high school football season in South Dakota. That'll be played today. The 11A championship is at noon. Top seed Sioux Falls Christian, defending champion number 3 seed Lennox. Then the 11AAA championship at 5 o'clock. Top seed Brandon Valley and number 2 seed Sioux Falls Lincoln. Couple of college basketball scores to report from yesterday. Northern State men's and women's basketball played their first games of the season, or regular season games. The women down in Kansas, Pittsburgh State defeated Northern 72-70 in overtime, and the Northern State men fell to Oklahoma Baptist 83-72. Do have a few announcements to pass along for Huron Tiger boys basketball players and parents. There'll be a meeting for all boys grades 9 through 12 for the upcoming season. That will be at Huron High School, room A121, the study hall room, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, that's for Tiger boys basketball. Tiger Roar Booster Club postseason potluck for Huron Tiger volleyball is a Monday night at 6:30. That was originally scheduled at the high school commons. It'll instead be held at the middle school commons, still Monday, 6:30, for Huron Tiger Volleyball. And Huron Area Volleyball Club will be holding tryouts for next year's JO season a week from tomorrow. That's Sunday, November 23rd, in the Huron High School gym. Begins with a parent meeting at 12 noon for the age groups 10 to 12, 13 through 14, parent meeting at noon, and then ages 10 to 12 have tryouts at 1, ages 13 and 14 at 2 o'clock. Parent meeting then for high school students and parents begins at 3 o'clock with the age 15 to 18 groups having tryouts from 4 till 5. You must pre-register before tryouts. You can go to the Huron Area Volleyball Club Facebook page. There's a QR code there to get registered. Check-in is 15 minutes before each age division. Fee is $10 at the time of tryouts. Staying on the theme of volleyball, the fields are set for all three state volleyball tournaments, which will begin next Thursday out in Rapid City. The Class A matchups, top seed Dakota Valley will open the tournament playing number 8 seed Wagner. 4 seed Clark Willow Lake will play number 5 seed Hamlin. Evening bracket, 2 seed Del Rapids, 7 seed Rapid City Christian. Then 3 seed Sioux Falls Christian, number 6 seed St. Thomas More. The Class B matchups, top seed Chester plays 8 seed Harriet Selby to open the tournament. Number 4 seed Parkston, number 5 seed Bennett County play the second match. Evening bracket, 2-seed Northwestern, 7-seed Gayville Vaughan. And the final first-round matchup is number 3-seed Warner and number 6-seed Harding County. And double A, top seed is Harrisburg. They'll play number 8-seed Mitchell to open the tournament. Then 4-seed Lincoln plays number 5-seed Watertown. The evening bracket, 2-seed Brandon Valley, 7-seed Sioux Falls, Washington. The final first-round matchup, 3-seed O'Gorman and number 11-seed Sioux Falls, Jefferson. All three state volleyball tournaments will be played at the Monument in Rapid City, with state champions to be crowned a week from today out in Rapid. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk a little about the Huron Tiger volleyball team. Their season came to a close on Thursday night in the SODAC 16 against Watertown. Visit with Josh Lean, head coach, on that. We'll talk with Drew Strand, head football coach for the Huron Tigers, run down the season and also the 11-member senior class as well, and wrap things up with Minnesota Twins talk. The Twins named their new manager a week and a half ago, Derek Shelton, and he's been filling out his coaching staff as well. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk Huron Tiger volleyball. Tiger volleyball saw their season end Thursday night as they were swept at Watertown by the Arrows with a berth in the state tournament on the line. Tigers, though, battled in the first two sets, losing 25-23, 28-26. Had two set points in that second set, but failed to convert. Talked to head coach Josh Lean after the match on Thursday night. And you talked about the way things came out. Girls came out aggressive. They came out relaxed, maybe put a little extra pressure on Watertown. But good teams like Watertown, they find a way. And that's what they did in those first two sets, particularly in that second set. But again, girls really came out, played well to get things going.
Yeah, I think we did everything that the scouting report said we needed to do to make a ball game out of it, right? I thought we served seams aggressively. We were setting up our block in the right spot. We were playing floor defense very well. We were reading things. Things were going our way. We were finding the holes in the floor. It's hard to tell. You lose those first two sets by a total of 4 points. And if we could have gotten one, you never really know whether we're playing into set four here and we're trying to, you know, figure out how to get to a fifth maybe. And so... I do feel like we were a tough out. I told, in the locker room, you know, it's never easy to end a season. There's probably one or two volleyball teams that are happy about the ending when the season's over. But certainly ending it here, that's unfortunate. And for our seniors, it would have been nice to give them a trip out west to the state tournament. And I think probably what made it hard is that, you know, we got a matchup in SODAC that we felt like if we did things right, we could be in the game, and we were. So that hope makes it hurt a little worse sometimes. And again, I thought the girls were playing as good as we could have at this time. Watertown just beat us. Anna and Siri on their pins. Reese came alive in set three out of the middle. You know, we started playing a little bit too careful, and that happens sometimes. But, you know, credit to our seniors. I know I'm kind of rambling here. I'm you know, the season doesn't end easily for a coach either, to be honest. So I think about our seniors, and I think about their work ethic. I think about their attitudes. I think about their character. All five of them, you know, I would write a letter of recommendation to for just about anything. And they're good. They're good leaders. They're good role models for our younger kids. And outside of the fact that, you know, Jency Gergen has broke the top 10 list in two categories, a serving and a setting, you know, Hilton Hines in the digging category and Allie Davis, you know, handled most of our scoring when we needed to, throughout the season. Outside of those things, the girls are going to be hard to replace for a lot of reasons, right? So we're going to miss those guys for sure. So we'll let this one sit for a while and figure out what our offseason's going to look like and where we go from here.
You know, and you kind of touched on it, but give Watertown credit where his credit's due. That second set, they were down 24-22. We just needed that elusive point that we just couldn't get, and we'll give Watertown credit for that. They made plays. Actually, I think they went on a 4-0 run to go up, or a 3-0 run to go up 25-24. We still had our chances tying it again, but just one too many plays. They just had so much firepower at the net.
Yeah, well, and I'll give credit. You know, I thought our kids battled well, too, to be honest. I don't have Watertown stats in front of me necessarily, but I didn't feel like we lost the error battle necessarily. I thought Watertown made their fair share of errors, and, you know, it's their home court. Pressure was on them, too. We played loose at times, and so, but when they were in the red zone, you know, their studs were studs, and they started leaving their sets inside, and we were trying to adjust the block and the floor defense and all those things were kind of happening quick. I thought Watertown did a really nice job of making us uncomfortable late in the set. And we hung right in there. We made some extraordinary plays. They're five for a reason, right? It just wasn't quite enough to figure out how to push this thing deeper than three sets.
Allie Davis, you know, that second set in particular, she just kind of took off. There, I think she had six kills, half of her kills for the match. And, I mean, it got to the point where Watertown knew where the ball was going. Jency was getting the ball there, and they just didn't have a lot of answers. Because I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think Allie Davis is the strongest girl in South Dakota volleyball.
Yeah, and she plays that way, right? I mean, if you watch her in the weight room, it won't surprise you with what she can do in there with how strong that she plays. And when she needs to take a little something off, she hits a high snap ball deep into the court or tries to put the ball in the seam of a blocker. She has all of those shots. To be honest, she even looked like the one shot that I've always felt like Addie Knight had over Allie was that throw to the line where you open up your hand and you kind of redirect the ball down the line. Knight does a really nice job with that ball. And leave it to her last game as a senior, Allie went ahead and threw that exact same ball right off the outside blocker to score us a point. So not to be outdone in that moment. I thought, you know, Davis is a kid that's we ask her to pass as good as the libero. We ask her to score by swinging 50% of our attacks. And then we ask her to maybe even throw a few aces in there for good measure. And so I've been really proud of Allie and her leadership and again, she's going to be hard to replace for a lot of reasons, both on and off the court. So I could lump all those kids in there. It's tough to end the season this way, but I thought we fought, we battled. Probably won't be a surprise to anybody in the state that Watertown's making an appearance at the state tournament. But we got tougher this week. I thought the girls were ready to play. And now we just got to look forward and build on stuff seasons and seasons down the road.
And that's the thing. We'll just wrap it up with that. You know, if you know the season's going to come in at some point. It's just happening 9 days earlier than what we hoped for.
Yep.
But at the end of, you know, at the end of September, I didn't know if this team was even where they were going to get. So the month of October, they caught their stride, had a couple of nice wins, really battled some really tough teams, got themselves up to the 12 seed. And I think Coach Hirsch is going to tell you, I didn't know what to expect after those first two sets.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, we're tough. We're athletes that play volleyball. We're not necessarily volleyball players like maybe, you know, some of those Metro Conference teams that we're battling with are competing with. But I did think as I've thought about our strength and conditioning program over the last couple summers, I think our girls are getting off the ground well. I think we're getting in the air. We're using every bit of our athleticism. There's still probably a little bit of lateral work we can do, some pushing that we can do off of our back foot where we can maybe get a little bit quicker. And of course, you know, truly as a coach, those are things that you don't, you know, I'm going to lose sleep over that till we serve the first serve next year. So at the end of it, I'm happy with how our kids grew this year. If I could have gotten maybe the lineup a little bit, you know, corrected earlier, maybe we could have gotten a few wins back in that September timeframe that we didn't get. But at the end of the day, we played a good SODAC 16 match against the top five team and came up short. And I can't be too upset about that. So proud of our kids. Look forward to an off season, and we're going to miss our seniors.
Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers see their season come to an end Thursday night with the loss to Watertown in the SODAC. Tigers finished the season 9-14. We'll visit with Coach Lean one last time, talk about the five senior class on this team and what's ahead for Tiger Volleyball as well. Up next, we'll talk here on Tiger Football as head coach Drew Strand highlights his senior class as the Tigers finished their best football season in over 30 years this past weekend. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Welcome back to Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk with Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tiger season ended at 8-3 in the semifinals, but best season the Tigers have probably had from a wins standpoint, probably years or so. We'll get to that coming up. But Drew, first things first, this is our final visit of the season. We always highlight the senior class. You had 11 kids in that senior class, and just about all of them played valuable minutes for you this year, so it is going to be a bunch that is missed. We'll get to that coming up. First off, though, we're just going to go down the roster numerically, kind of highlight each one because these kids have played a lot of football for the Huron Tigers. Start off with number five, Mason Juergens, was a starter on defense for 3 years, starter on offense for 2 years as well, and probably out of the 22 spots on the field in his career going back to middle school, he probably played about 11 of them.
Yep, I mean, you know, talking just to him, you know, and seeing him, like, he was kind of our utility player on both sides of the football, whether it was a slot receiver to a running back to a tight end. He kind of fit those roles and where he lines up as a wing back and on the offensive side of the ball, and even on defense then, from lining up as a safety to a linebacker to even sometimes being tighter to the line of scrimmage in some of our looks and almost being a stand-up D end, you know. So definitely going to be hard to replace him, and just – utility guy throughout all phases of our game, and even in special teams being a guy out there. And so definitely a player that we like to have, and definitely has a lot of athleticism and ability to, you know, be in different spots. And that's kind of all you can ask from a player, is being ready to learn and know all those situations and the positions that he could. And he was able to learn every single one of them and play any of those positions on any Friday night. And so going to be hard to replace him, and he's a super great athlete to have on both sides of the ball for us.
You know, and one thing I just thought of him, too, with all the positions, one thing you'll probably don't count is he was our holder for extra points and field goals the last 2 years as well. And, well, he had to, you know, you don't think about this, but he had to adjust. He had basically three, I think even four kickers kicking at some point this year.
Yep. I mean, this year we had a lot of different, you know, whether it's PAT, field goal kickers, kicking this season, so he definitely had to make a little bit of an adjustment, whether it was the size of the tee that each of them liked or the way they liked the ball held. And so he did a good job at making those things work. And, yeah, like I said, he's kind of the utility guy. I know we think about other guys that play different positions, but he's definitely one of them that probably go under the radar of moving around so much that people don't even realize how many different positions that he plays during the game.
The next up, Landon Hulst, and we've talked about already, first 1,000-yard rusher for the Huron Tigers since Josh Brecker back in 2002, and he came into this season knowing that was his spot, he was going to be there.
Yep, I mean, Landon kind of came in this season with a totally different attitude of, you know, that work hard, show it on Friday nights for everybody in the crowd, and he really kind of went off with the crowd on Friday night, and when they were excited, then it got him going, and you get him started early on in the games, and he'd be able to kind of carry the team through the whole way across the board. And he did a fantastic job at running back. I think he had, you know, over 170 rushes, and having that many rushes and that many yards is just an awesome an accomplishment for not only him but the whole Huron program. And, you know, I thought he was a pretty athletic linebacker for us, even on the offense or on the defensive side of the ball. He had a lot of the tackles for losses, especially in that T game for us when we shut him out this season. And he's a super athletic kid, and even in space, he does a great job, and that's kind of where we put him on both sides of the ball, is give him the ball or have him making tackles in space, and he did both of those things. Definitely going to be hard. I don't think he'll – there's not very often you see a guy like Landon that with that kind of athletic ability and showcase that on Friday night, and it was awesome that he was able to do that as a senior this year.
And one other note on him, too, I kind of forget, too, as a sophomore, he had major shoulder surgery, and he actually missed the first game of his junior year because he wasn't quite ready to go, but obviously he came off of that, and the numbers speak for themselves.
Yep, I mean, and that's kind of just about being tough and playing football. There was times this season where, you know, he kind of tweaked it a little bit and we gave him rest, or he tweaked it during the game, but then there he was back in and ready to roll. And so just, you know, a hard-working kid that wants to be successful, and he's earned every bit and every yard that he got this season. And I thought he did a great job, and hopefully we can see him playing on Saturdays in the future.
Then Riley Winiger, another kid, too, that really came into his own last year. He rarely left the field this year, even on special teams as well. And he just knew he was going to be there, and he wasn't going to make mistakes.
Yep, I mean, he's one of those two-way players in our senior group that, you know, you don't always hear the name in the news headlines, but he's definitely a big part of our role on offense and defensive. Pass game, being able to defend the pass, and then being able to go run routes all game. And, you know, it's never easy playing cornerback position and chasing guys down after running routes, then all of a sudden flipping the field, and now you got to run the routes, whether you're going to block somebody or run down the field 20 yards and hopefully get a pass thrown up to you. But he had a good standout game this season at our homecoming game, and, you know, he did a great job and showed a lot, you know, a lot of improvement over the years, and it was a good role for him to fit in and being able to play both ways. And he's always had the Huron team mentality, and he's never been too high or never too low, and never yelled at anybody, and every time he would encourage guys to keep up, and he did a good job of understanding and roles.
And next up, Oakley Anderson led us in tackles the last 2 years, and I think got to be a state record for most tackles per inch of height by any player in South Dakota history.
Yep, I mean, Oakley in the defense, he's really taken that role and taken over the last two seasons with us, fitting in that middle linebacker, and he does a lot of film study and understands what we're trying to do, and so couldn't ask for a better guy and a more disciplined guy on what we're trying to do, and being able to react to what you see come out of the gate in the first few seconds of the snap, and then being able to trust that you're seeing what it's going to be and be able to fly there 100% and make the tackle and make the plays. And, you know, big momentum guy for our defense, definitely going to be a hard guy to replace.
Then next on the list, Gunnar Harris. He moved in as a sophomore and well, just kind of settled in right there. Mainly just played on defense, mainly played corner, but you knew you could depend on him.
Yep. I mean, he did a good job of showing up for us. There was times where he had to miss or times he had injuries, but, you know, great kid to have around. He always was a hard-nosed kid that went in, and no matter what it was, he was going to go hit. He was a fearless player out there at corner and sometimes need that. And his size, you know, brought another element to our defense of being 6 foot tall and being able to come downhill on those short passes. And, you know, it's going to be tough to miss somebody like that that's fearless like that. And hopefully the other kids kind of see that fearlessness and kind of feed off of what he brought when he was in at corner.
The next on the list is lineman Charlie Martin. This is probably going to be the hardest one for you to get through. Charlie Martin, number 52, but yet he was number 25 till midway through his sophomore year. Was kind of a fullback, H-back type of guy and then needed help on the line. He said he'd do it. Maybe didn't always buy in on the idea, but at the end, he ended up being an all-conference player. And, you know, that's just not kind of like Oakley Anderson, not the biggest guy in the world, but the way he played, he was a lot bigger.
Yep, I mean, Charlie did a fantastic job for us, you know, taking over that role last year and kind of surrounded by a group of underclassmen. You know, I know Nolan stepped in this year with him, but, you know, underclassmen were all around him, and he had to figure out kind of how to guide all those guys and get them under his wing and get them to have the same mental mentality that he had of when you're in the trenches, it's a dogfight every single time, every single play. And, you know, he embodies that, and he brings that every Friday night with your team, and he gives you everything he has. You know, unfortunately, in fall camp, he did dislocate his shoulder, and so he's been playing with that, you know, all season long. And, you know, it didn't matter what it was or what happened, he was going to go in and give it everything he had for his guys. And if somebody had to pick him up off of the field to go off, that was the only way he was coming off the field. And so just a great guy to have in Huron and just a better person. And him and I grew pretty close just in relationships of being able to talk about stuff, whether it's football or outside of football. And so super excited to see where he goes in the future, and definitely going to be a tough one for me to kind of let go and move on from.
Next, Nolan Staley. He came into the season thinking I'm starting defensive end. Ended up he mainly just played offense due to the early injury to Elliot Hartman. Bottom line is he could play most anywhere on the offensive line, but he held down that tackle position.
Yep. I mean, you know, at times I think this season we had him in at center a couple plays and then from guard or tackle, and he was kind of moving around. But he definitely filled the role of the tackle spot for us and started there. After Elliot went down, and he did a fantastic job of jumping in and, you know, going where his team needed. You know, we talk about Charlie moving positions and Nolan kind of giving up that defense just so he could focus strictly on offense and help our offense move a lot, and almost having, you know, 2,000 rushing yards on the season as an offense. You know, it definitely comes down to those linemen that we had that kind of pushed, you know, forward and was able to make that happen with whether it was the play calls and them going to the right positions. But Nolan's going to be a tough one to replace as well, and just another utility guy that we had on our lineman side.
Next on the list, Andrew Baker. He came out after the season started, just wanted to be a part of it. And, again, you can always use the depth.
Yep. I mean, Andrew Baker jumped in, you know, during practices for us, helped us out. But, you know, he kind of was a little bit of an excitement guy, you know, for practice. Definitely brought the energy for our guys, and, you know, it's exciting to see guys come out. Hopefully we can get them at a younger age, but it's exciting to see, you know, different faces and new people that I've never seen, you know, throughout the school and see them on the football field on Friday nights.
Next on the list is Rayshon Whip. Basically defense and special teams. I always called him the Tasmanian Devil. If you ever see him, you'll know why I called him that. But, you know, he was just an energy guy. He never gave less than his 100% on any play.
Yep, I mean, Rayshon is definitely one of those guys, again, just like the rest of the senior group, that really kind of showed that toughness every Friday night, went out and went after it, you know. And Rayshon was a guy that he would show up for practice, and he was ready to go, and he'd give his all even at practice and show. So that kind of stems, you know, down, and kind of the younger classmen all season, and even the guys around him on defense or special teams kind of saw how hard he went, no matter the size of him, you know, being one of those smaller, undersized guys, didn't matter who they were going up against. And so definitely another tough kid that'll be hard to replace moving forward as well.
Next on the list is Alan Mejia Garcia. And again, one of those guys, you know, was a depth piece. Sounds like he understood his role, and that was to help make the varsity better. I give the looks of the other team on the scout team, and he took that duty to heart.
Yep, I mean, Alan did a good job. He was a part of it, you know, for every season. He definitely loved from when he could first start freshman games and JV games and go out there and just play football. And it's fun to reward those kids that have put in all the work, whether it's the off-season work of lifting, coming and showing up. And he was one of those guys that was consistent in communicating, you know, whether he was going to miss practice for a reason or whether, you know, there was things going on that we had to switch or make up, and he did a good job of that. And so really exciting to see him stick it out for all these years and kind of reap the benefits of what, you know, his grade has done for the Huron football program.
And the last one on the list, Blake Elwine, was a regular last year. Came out mid-season. He just couldn't keep himself away as things were developing. And bottom line is, I have my money on him being the tallest football player in South Dakota this year. And he just commanded respect from the defense. He was just as good a decoy as he was a receiver, because the offense had to respect that he was going to be open just by putting his arms up.
Yep. I mean, you know, it's nice to see him, and we're super glad that he decided, you know, to come back out with us and be a part of, you know, what we had going this season. It would have been nice to have him, you know, in the summer and all season long, but, you know, I understand the two-sport, three-sport athletes, and he's got other obligations and other futures that he wants to kind of reach for. And so we're just super blessed that we're a part, that he could be a part of our program and help us out, you know, offensively. You know, I know his stats might not show it, but offensively, just him lining up there definitely helps out our offense, of whether they got to bring two guys over or carry a safety over. And just unfortunate that we couldn't get him more catches or, you know, more yards to help out his stats. But, you know, I thought he did a good job, and he's a great team guy, and he wants to have success, you know, for any teammate and any guy around him. And he's been that way since I've known him. So, you know, just awesome that he could come out and be a part of that with us.
Again, talking with Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football, wrapping up a very successful season at 8-3. And that's the senior class, 11 guys. And again, we give these 11 guys kudos. They stayed with the program. They were freshmen when you took over as head coach. They believed in the program, stuck with it. And obviously this year paid a lot of dividends for these guys for putting their time in.
Yep, I mean, this senior group has done a lot, you know, not only as, you know, the record shows of 8-3, but just the culture of football and being togetherness and bringing that family and brotherhood. You know, these guys have talked about it, you know, and you see other teams in the past kind of talk about it, but don't actually show it or do it with their actions. And these guys, you know, every week, every practice, every extra film session, every extra lifting or whatever it may be, they embodied that, and they walked around, and their actions showed that they were a family and a brotherhood. And this is probably one of the toughest groups, you know, personally, that, you know, I'm going to have to try to replace, whether it's anybody off of this list that's leaving. And just the four, these are the guys that I started my head coaching career with here in Huron, and it's one of the toughest guys just because of all the relationships I've built, not only because of the football part of it, but just the personal part of the team meals and everything, and those guys working together and just making Huron football and the culture of being competitive and just bringing that heart and everything and being tough, you know. And that's what these guys embodied, and definitely going to be hard to replace all those things that these kids leave behind. But I think their legacy is going to be stamped down for Huron football for a really long time, and I hope these younger kids can understand how much work and effort these 11 seniors have put in to reap the benefits of their work and to see the record that they come out with. But it wasn't just handed to these guys, and just looking at their size, you know, kind of goes to show how much work and effort they had to put in to get to where they're at.
And where we're at now is, yeah, 11 seniors leave, and tough to see them go. But on the other hand, we have a ton of juniors. I think you'd said towards the beginning of the season, right now the junior class might be the biggest class for numbers that we've had in several years. Keep the group together, get more kids excited to come out. You know that, you know, there's a lot of things to definitely be optimistic for on here on Tiger Football.
Yep, I mean, you know, a lot of the parents walking around after the potluck that we had, you know, a lot of them were like, yep, the season starts today. And, you know, that's exciting to see when you can leave that kind of impression, that kind of path, you know, on everybody, and understand that, you know, it does take a lot of time. It does take a lot of effort. And hopefully these younger groups can see that and kind of get started right away. I know it's tough because you don't want the one season to end, but once one ends, the other one starts. And so, you know, just a lot of work in the off season, a lot of things we got to do to catch back up to replace these 11 guys. And so I think these younger guys will fill in good. We got a big junior class, and then the other guys that'll fill in. And hopefully, you know, our goal is just to keep the numbers up and be competitive, you know, no matter what it is, what situation. And hopefully moving forward, you know, we're going into games, you know, thinking that and believing that we can win every single game. Doesn't matter the opponent, doesn't matter the size, and that's kind of the legacy that this group left behind, and so hopefully the younger groups can kind of take that moving forward.
And then finally, well, not actually finally yet, but I will bring it up. I know you don't want to talk about it. I don't care. The South Dakota Football Coaches Association named you the 11AA Coach of the Year. Nice honor. Nobody gets into coaching to get honors. Bottom line is they recognize where the program is and where it was that first game you were as head coach when we went to tee and basically couldn't keep anybody out of the backfield to where we are today hosting a semifinal. That's a nice run in a four-year period.
Yep, and you know, I've had a lot of people, and I appreciate everybody, you know, that's kind of came out to me and said, you know, congratulations, but you know, without the kids that put in the work and without the parents that get the kids there, without the community behind us, you know, to support the kids that are on the field on Friday night, and without the coaching staff I have, you know, doing all those things and putting all that work in, you know, is kind of the reward. You know, I look at it as I get, you know, my name up there and it says Huron 11AA head coach, but it's actually the Huron team of 2025-26 and everything that they've done to earn that reward. And so I appreciate all those guys and all the things they've done, you know, to be able to have that. And, you know, moving forward, hopefully we just understand that and more programs and more kids can understand that and do that moving forward.
And so we look ahead, onward and upward, as I've said many times this year. I know you're now putting together what you need to do for girls wrestling as head coach when practices begin on Monday. You're going to be keeping an eye on what all your football boys are doing as well, because no matter where you're coaching, be it football, be it girls wrestling, some baseball in the summer, coaching is a year-round job.
Yep, I mean, especially, you know, for football, we've kind of made it year-round. I know a lot of the kids are excited to get in the weight room, and if they're playing a winter sport, you know, awesome. You know, we love those kids out, you know, doing other sports because it only helps, you know, with the team bonding and even your skill set of, you know, just bringing that onto the football field. And if you're not doing a sport, hopefully you find the weight room and we just move forward and you get bigger, stronger, faster, and, you know, just continue to do the things all year round you need to be successful in the short, you know, 9 weeks of regular season, and hopefully, you know, the extra weeks you have after in the postseason for football. And so it takes a lot of work in the off season to have that success for the short football season ahead. And so hopefully these young kids understand that, and we move in to the next year.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers coming off their most successful season in probably 30 years or better. Running 8-3, having the second seed and making the semifinals of the 11AA playoffs. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.